To the Index tonight, an investigation is underway in Paris after a close associate of disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein, modeling agent Jean-Luc Brunel, was found dead this morning in his prison cell. As lawyers say, he died by suicide. Brunel was charged with rape and the trafficking of minors and was awaiting trial. Epstein also died by suicide in a New York City jail back in 2019.
Hello and welcome to Real Crime Profile. I'm Lisa Zambetti. I'm a casting director, formerly casting of CBS's Criminal Minds, and I'm here with
Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor, and writer producer of CBS's Criminal Minds.
Laura was going to jump on with us, but she's caring for beautiful Rafi. But Jim wanted to jump on and talk about something that was in the news this week.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Brunel, who was the friend of Jeffrey Epstein, and apparently they colluded, as well as with Ghislaine Maxwell, to sexually assault children, young models. So the thing is that he had a modeling agency in Paris, and typically what happened was young models in the U.S. would be sent to Paris to sort of get exposure, international exposure, and get in fashion shows during fashion weekend. And also get, you know, covers of magazines and so forth to help build their portfolio. And then they would come back to the U.S. and be U.S. supermodels, right? And yeah. The same thing happened with French models. French models would come to the U.S. and they would
come to New York. To Eileen Ford and all those places.
Right. Well, in 1987, I was at the Ford Modeling Agency at Eileen Ford's office, which is also sort of like a home. She took in young models and they lived in her place, and then she, you know, sort of, you know, built their careers around them. And she would send young girls to Paris. One of the people that she sent them to was Jean-Luc in Paris.
Why were you at Eileen Ford's modeling agency?
Well, actually, there was a complaint that came in that a number of the supermodels were getting threats. Very graphic, very violent threats. And so myself and I took Jim Fitzgerald with me, and we went to Eileen Ford's and to the Ford Modeling Agency, and we interviewed her and then interviewed a bunch of the models that had been threatened, and then conducted an investigation to identify where these threats were coming from and also how viable the threats were. But while we were there, Eileen Ford took me aside. After we had done a bunch of interviews, she took me aside and said, "I have something else I want to talk to you about." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Well, I've been hearing from some of my girls that Jean-Luc Brunel in France, in Paris, is drugging or giving these girls alcohol and sexually assaulting them, and also letting others sexually assault them." I opened a preliminary inquiry, which is how you start an investigation in the FBI. And we made approaches to Interpol and to the French authorities to inquire about Jean-Luc. And we were basically ignored. They refused to participate in an investigation against him. And it's not unusual, given the fact that there is a, I don't even want to say his name, a disgusting director who's won Academy Awards since then, who drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl
in the U.S.
Jack Nicholson's house,
mm-hmm.
in the U.S. And yep. He has been a fugitive of the U.S. authorities since then. He was paroled pending trial. He was convicted and then he escaped the United States and has been a fugitive in France, protected by France since then. For decades.
Right. This is the director we're talking about, not the model.
Is.
That's what we're doing.
Right. And so when Eileen told me that, and when I opened that investigation, we were basically stopped cold. He was out of the United States. He's not in our jurisdiction. And I believe at that point, Eileen stopped sending models to him, but we had nothing we could do about it. We couldn't shut him down in any way, shape, or form. Mm. Apparently, even after all these decades, Francis finally, I don't know why now, but Francis finally arrested him based on a charge of sexually victimizing a child. And they were doing a full investigation and they were going to prosecute him. And now they found him dead in his cell, hanging by his bedsheets, apparently by suicide. Everybody is talking about it now because there's a direct connection between him and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Right.
They all work together. Apparently, Epstein and Brunel formed a modeling agency together. And you can just imagine what they did to the girls that came through there.
So according to CNN, he was accused of rape by several former top models, which he denied. And he was put under formal investigation in France in late June of 2021 for the rape of a minor over 15, said the prosecutor's office. He was arrested in at Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport on counts of rape and sexual assault and human trafficking, a lot of things.
Well, yeah, it sounds like France finally came around and did something right, because for many years they did not allow us to conduct an investigation there or cooperate with our investigation or send him back here. But I didn't expect them to, when they have a history of basically protecting a very well-known child rapist who happens to be a director there. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they finally came around and did this investigation. But it was at least 35 years after Eileen Ford told me about it. And we tried to get Jean-Luc Brunel to be investigated and shut down and arrested. But unfortunately, there was no cooperation at that time from the French government.
Well, I think they must have been forced into it, because it looks like the arrest was part of a probe launched in 2019 targeting acts of sexual nature tied to Jeffrey Epstein. So I don't think without Epstein, you know, being imprisoned, I don't think, and all of that was whatever was disclosed when Epstein went to jail, they must have been forced to go after him.
Yeah, I wonder if Jean-Luc was one of the eight names that were named in that civil suit that Ghislaine Maxwell's lawyers were trying to protect. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I would like to know who the other ones are, because if they're all also guilty of sexually victimizing children, then they should all be brought to justice as well. But the fact is that there's no justification for France allowing this kind of stuff to go on for decades. There was actually a 60 Minutes program in 1988 where they disclosed that Jean-Luc was molesting models. And it's not till 2021 that he's actually even investigated thoroughly.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, the next shocking thing is that he was found hanging from knotted sheets in his cell. So if you believe that Jeffrey Epstein also ended his own life in his jail cell, here's another one, you know, rather than facing the music. I mean, yeah, what do you think about that? Do you think that
I think when you live a privileged, above everything life, where you're just, you can do whatever you want, untouched by the law, then when you actually get caught and you get thrown in prison and you get treated and you have absolutely no control over anything going on in your life, I think, yeah, it's reasonable to conclude that somebody like that, somebody who's taken advantage of so many people, who knows that there's nothing good going to come out of this, doesn't want to spend the rest of their lives in prison, that they would take their lives. It's also possible that there are people who are threatening them and they would rather take their own life than have something else happen to them. Who knows what happened?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that it's a coward's way out. There's no question about it. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm just surprised that it took this long to bring him to justice. And I want to know who the other people are that are involved with Maxwell and with Epstein, who were perpetuating this, you know, scheme to get young models. I mean, some of these are 13-year-old girls who are going there with all this hope and promise, and they're drugged, they're raped, they're sexually assaulted. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
And terrible.
Yes. And then they have the, you know, the bravery to come forward and actually tell Eileen Ford, who was, you know, forced to be reckoned with, and they tell her this, and then nothing happens. I want to tell you, one of the victims, Taisia Puisman, said this about Brunel's death. It sent her into a shock. It makes me angry because I've been fighting for years. She told police that he had drugged and raped her as a teen. And for me, the end was to be in court. And now the whole ending, which would help form closure, is taken away from me.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, that's terrible. But at least he cannot do this to anyone else.
No, but it also reminds me that, you know, Cosby's also had a funnel from a modeling agent, too. And that agent, you know, always claimed that she never knew any of this was happening, despite sending just so many girls to him and his dressing room. And this is why I really don't believe she didn't know anything, because I think that some of these girls would have told her.
It's possible. And, you know, I mean, I remember when Eileen Ford took me aside, I mean, she was very concerned and, you know, she really didn't know what to do. And she just said, this guy is so well connected and he's just part and parcel of the Paris fashion society that people just think he's wonderful. She stood up for him. She said, he's a wonderful guy, but here he is, a charismatic, wealthy, very connected guy that outwardly shows that he loves and respects people, but obviously behind closed doors, he's doing horrific things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is all part of the grooming society, you know, and grooming the caretakers of these kids as well as the kids. This is how grooming works. I mean, and it can convince people who are close to somebody like this. No, you don't know him. He's actually a nice guy. And they think nice guys can't sexually assault. And that's a fucking myth. And that's why I hate the term monster predator, because it makes everybody think that the bad people all look and act like they're bad people. But no, actually nice guy acquaintance offenders known to the victims are the case in more than 90% of all sexual victimization cases. The victims are known to the offender. The offender is known to the victims. It's not stranger danger. It's not somebody lurking in the park. It's not somebody creeping, you know, up the back stairs. It's somebody that you know. And this guy was able to use his power in the fashion industry to get a constant stream of victims and then drug them and rape them. Just like that scumbag that France has been hiding for decades. He did exactly the same thing at Jack Nicholson's home.
It's disgusting. Absolutely. Well, anything else you want to add to this story? I mean, what happens now? I mean, you know, the conspiracy people out there are like, okay, Ghislaine Maxwell better sleep with her eyeballs open, because they probably don't think this is a suicide.
Well, certainly Glenn's family is worried about her safety, and they've made public statements about that. But I think they have her on suicide watch, and she's woken up every 15 minutes, which I'm sure is very disturbing. And to me, I don't understand why she doesn't just plead guilty and you know, give up everybody else that she knew that was involved in this stuff. It makes no sense that she's just holding out and protecting people. I know she stopped, or her lawyer stopped, protecting the 8 unnamed co-defendants, but hopefully, I mean, their names have not been released yet, but hopefully they will be. And hopefully all of them and everybody associated with them who was a participant in this sexual victimization will be shut down. This is exactly the kind of thing that feeds those conspiracy theorists that talk about Clintons and pizza places and baby raping and all this other bullshit. It's unfortunate that something like this was allowed to happen by these wealthy, powerful people. But the fact is that the people closest to them and the people who they interact with believe that they can't be wonderfully nice, charismatic, wealthy people and still be sexually attracted to children. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. You can be the most successful person in the world, the kindest, the most gentle person, the most generous person, and still have a sexual attraction to children, which you hide. And I've always said this, sexual behavior is typically private. Criminal sexual behavior is extremely private. So the people that you think you know, if somebody comes forward and says that they have sexually victimized somebody, that should be investigated thoroughly, no matter who they are. Obviously, there are times when people come forward because they want money, that kind of stuff. But typically, that's not the case with sexual victimization. Sexual victimization is not something that people lightly disclose. In fact, most victims will wait 20, 30, 40 years before they will disclose. And because of that, it becomes very difficult to investigate and charge. And that's, I think, what happened. That's what happened in the Cosby case. It's not that the victims weren't telling the truth. It's that, unfortunately, a district attorney just disgraced his job, just like the guy did in Florida with Epstein, disgraced their jobs and allowed serial sex offenders to go free. It's horrific.
It's so shocking. I mean, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you jumped on to clear that up with us and you had a real inside track on that case. That's for sure. Whatever happened with the models at Eileen Ford who were being harassed and threatened? Did you ever find out who was doing that to them?
Yes, we resolved that case and we were able to shut it down.
Is that all? Absolutely. You can't say anything more.
Well, this story, I hope, will continue. I think we really need to know who those eight names are in the Ghislaine Maxwell case. And I hope that each one of them can be investigated thoroughly. It's possible that there's a prince on that list.
I was going to say, who do you think's on that list? That's what I want. Well, you probably can't say,
I don't know. I do not know, but it's possible that Jean-Luc was on there. It's possible there are former presidents on there. Who knows? But the fact is that I want every one of them to be investigated, period. Until next time, thank you so much for listening to Real Crime Profile. Signing off.
If you like deeper analysis like this episode on topics like Making a Murderer, Mindhunter, Escape at Dannemora,
the case of Sally Challen, the teacher's pet, Lynette Dawson, the exonerated five in When They See Us, and the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, you can listen to RCP on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. And please be sure, if you like what we do, to give us a 5-star review.
Thank you for listening to Real Crime Profile. Real Crime Profile is produced and edited by Paul Francis Sullivan. Sound engineering by Mike Thal. Music is composed by Simba Tsumba. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Real Crime Profile is produced by XG Productions and distributed by Wondery.
For advice and support if you're experiencing stalking in the UK, you can contact Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service on 0203 866 4107. Or you can go to the website where there's a lot of information and advice that you can follow on www.paladinservice.co.uk. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, you can call the National Domestic Violence Helpline for free on 0800 2000 247. In the US, if you're experiencing domestic abuse and need advice, shelter or counselling, you can call Genesis, the 24-hour hotline, on 214 946 4357. You can also go to their website for further advice or support, www.genesisshelter.org. And there's the domestic violence hotline on 800 799 7233.